Welcome to another special episode of the Mohawk Games Podcast. This week, I speak to Daniel Umanovskis, also known as Solver, and he's going to be telling us about the first scenario for the upcoming campaign for Carthage. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to the show, Daniel.
Hello to all our listeners. Great to be here.
And we are happy to have you. So you are here to tell us about the first of a few scenarios that you've been working on. So let's start by having you give us kind of the foundation of what's going on within these scenarios.
Yes, that's right. So with our upcoming release of Old World, we will also be releasing a campaign that is the Carthage campaign. And it will have four scenarios, the first of which will be coming quite soon. And today I'm here to talk about that first scenario, the first of four.
Excellent. All right. So it's Carthage. Why was the choice made for Carthage?
I'm not the one who actually made the choice.
All right.
I do think it's a great choice because Carthage is of the nations that we have in Old World. You could maybe say that it is a little bit less known in popular culture, certainly less than big ones like Greece and Rome and Egypt. But at the same time, Carthage was a major nation. It was a major empire for its time. And if history had gone just a little bit differently, then it could have had the same kind of enormous impact on all Western civilization that Rome ended up having. And this campaign in Old World is a great chance, really, to showcase what Carthage was all about and maybe to showcase a little bit what could have been.
That's really cool to hear, actually. I didn't realize that Carthage had that kind of power back then. So I do believe this in some ways will be sort of a historical lesson. So can you tell me a little bit more about the history behind that?
Yes. So Carthage, their whole kingdom, stems from the earlier Phoenician kingdom, which would be in modern Lebanon, roughly. And these Phoenicians, they were major traders, among other things, not only traders, but they were major traders due to the location. And one of their cities, the city of Tyre, was a major trade port for everything, for all kinds of trade passing through the Mediterranean. And that is the origin of the Carthaginian culture. The actual founding of the Carthaginian Empire, it's a fascinating story. It's one of those historical stories where you would go that it's too unbelievable, probably, if it had not happened. So Carthage was founded by Queen Dido shortly after the new king of Tyre, who was Dido's brother. And this king, Pygmalion, he went ahead and he killed Dido's husband, who was the chief priest. So that was, of course, not really appreciated. So Dido and a bunch of her followers, they fled east. They boarded some ships and they went east until they came to the site of modern Carthage, which would be in Tunisia, around the modern capital of Tunis. And there they landed and they were about to found their new colony of Carthage, or Carthadash, as they called it. That means the new city in the Phoenician language. And this is actually where our first scenario begins. So the first scenario is about this moment, the very foundation of Carthage.
I didn't know any of that, and that's already setting up a really dramatic beginning to this scenario. What is the title of the first scenario?
The first scenario is called Oxhide, and that is based on another legend that was, I don't know if that is true or not, but this legend was told and retold among the Carthaginians later. So as legend has it, when Dido came to this site that would become Carthage, the local kings, because of course the area had been populated since earlier, there were Mauritanian, there were the Numidian tribes, there were Berbers and other people populating the area already. So as legend has it, one of the local leaders or warlords or kings told Dido that, okay, she and her people, they may only settle on the land that they can cover by one oxhide, which, of course, is not really practical. So Dido agreed. The tribal king swore an oath that, he will respect Dido. He will actually give Dido that land. So what Dido did then is brilliant. She took an oxhide, an actual oxhide, And she cut it into very thin strips. And she used those strips to encircle a hill or maybe just an area of land, but to get a pretty big area. That area that she could then cover by an ox hide, in that way that became Karkharash, the city.
Wow, that is brilliant. I would never have thought of that. Now I'm curious, because I know you said that Dido's brother ends up killing her husband, but does Dido have any role in her husband's death at all?
No, so it was just some good old-fashioned ancient family murder, but presumably Dido was afraid for her life because her brother, the new king, might have been planning to kill her as well. And so in any case, Dido did not wait to find out, and so she fled. But it was her husband that was killed, and so she remained very faithful to him even there, because then another legend about her later years tells us that one of these local kings in the new area where Carthage was founded wanted to take Dido as his wife. And Dido, she felt that it would dishonor the memory of her previously murdered husband, and she knew that you cannot just refuse. You cannot just refuse a powerful king either. So what she did was she took her own life instead of marrying him. And that's the end of Dido, was clearly a very, very brilliant and loyal founder.
Wow. Okay. So how does this work for gameplay? So I assume that you start after she flees to the east, right?
Yeah. So for gameplay, we don't have much in terms of that very early period. We start as Dido has landed there in the east. So you're going to found your first city. You're going to found Carthage. Then we sort of do a time skip because we have a game that's about you building an empire or building up a civilization. And what was happening there in the early years with a very small colony, that's not really our scope. So we do a little time skip and we go to King Malchus, who was the first king of, or one of the first attested ruler, I should say, of Carthage, descended also, of course, from Dido. And for the majority of this first scenario, you are playing as King Malchus.
Right. Okay. So in this scenario, how much of this history have you implemented within the gameplay?
We had to get a little bit creative because the history of Carthage in this very early period, it is not very well documented. Also, the exact years of when all of these events happened, when Dido went there, they're also subject of some debate, the historical community. And then for the next decades, we don't really know a lot. So we had to be a little bit creative. And so we based our events on what we imagine could have happened and what almost certainly happened. So one major line of events is about the struggles that Carthage at that point, this new upstart colony, had with the more established tribes in the region. Maybe these tribes were not too happy that there is suddenly a new neighbor. Maybe they were not too happy that this new neighbor is actually doing quite well. So there might have been some demands for tribute. There might have been some conflict and other interactions. And then the other line of events that we have is that Carthage had a very clear parent culture, so to speak, in terms of Phoenicia and Tyre. So we have some contact going on still between them. Carthage is receiving shipments from Tyre still. It still relies on Tyre's goodwill, at least to the point where other ships can also stop at Carthage and not make themselves unwelcome in Tyre. So you, as this upstart Carthaginian leader, you still have to keep your ancestors and your greater brothers in Tyre happy.
Okay, so there's still... How does that end up working in gameplay terms? Are you still in contact with the Phoenicians in this game?
In terms of gameplay, they do not actually show up. So the first scenario takes part on a fairly small stretch of map. However, every few years, there is demand, or let's say encouragement, that you should be sending some of the trade goods to Phoenicians. And if you don't do that, then maybe things will get a bit more difficult for you because you are maybe not yet quite powerful enough to completely forget where you came from. So there is that kind of demand. And then there is a lot more that happens locally with the tribes, as I said.
Awesome. So what is the goal here as this upstart? I mean, what are you trying to attempt to accomplish within this first scenario?
So you're an upstart, as we're saying, and what you're trying to accomplish is to build something that could eventually become an empire, which means you need to become stronger than the tribes that surround you, which means that you need to expand. And here we come to something that we have throughout the campaign. So we have a selection of goals in the campaign. Each scenario features multiple goals, 12 goals. And some of those goals are chosen for you. So, for example, in the first scenario, you have to expand to another city and you have to improve several tiles to get your economy started. And roughly half of the goals are actually up to you, because a key element in Old World are your characters, are your families. And for the goals that are up to you, they originate as suggestions from your noble families, who might have completely different opinions on what you should be doing next. And maybe one family thinks that, oh, you should be building a navy, and another family thinks you should actually go all the way west and conquer those Numidians because they're just too powerful and too much of a risk to leave them alone. And a third family maybe doesn't care about any of that, but it wants to build some really, really nice buildings. And so at several points in the scenario, you have to choose which family you are going to side with and which goal you are going to pursue, which then ties really nicely into our mechanics of character and family opinions that you also have in the base game. So you want the families happy with you. And if you're constantly agreeing just with one family, then maybe the other families will not take kindly to that.
And that's a great tie-in. I really like that. And it sounds like the way you're choosing ambitions and goals are also kind of very similar to the base game as well. But as you start the scenario and you're an upstart, are you starting off a little bit weaker than the surrounding tribes? And
yes, definitely. So as you start, you get less stuff than you normally get in the base game. So in the base game, you get several technologies, and you get also a military unit to start with. Here in the first scenario, you're definitely weaker. You don't get any military units to begin with. And your city is also, it's just the one city, while the surrounding tribes, they all have multiple sites and they have a military. So they're definitely more powerful than you are, which makes you think real hard about whether you should maybe be paying them a little bit just to keep them a little bit happier. And yes, the families have different opinions also on how to deal with them. Sometimes you may not have a choice. I don't want to, of course, spoil things about the scenario, but there may be some moments where you don't exactly have a choice of being peaceful. But other than that, yes, the families, true to their nature of constantly arguing, constantly bickering, they will have different opinions. One will be just, oh, if we get some nice luxuries, we can send them away and everybody will be happy. And the other one is saying, no, we have to take everything by force.
So how does Carthage overcome this handicap? Are they given unique technologies or units?
The biggest advantage of being Carthage is probably the same as we have also in the main game. Carthage can spend gold to recruit mercenaries. So all of these native tribes that are surrounding you, they have their own troops, they have their own soldiers, and you could potentially be buying their allegiance. So one of the ways to play this is to invest in your economy, try to get as much gold as you can, and then use the gold to slowly buy yourself a military, which in turn buys you time to build a real military and then become untouchable. But that is, of course, not the only way to play the scenario. So I know some players so far in our test group have been successful with very aggressive approaches. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what our players can come up with, because I'm sure players will be beating the scenario in many ways that none of us at Mohawk have foreseen.
Does that have any historical accuracy? I mean, like the foundation of that being that Dido and the upstart Carthage were buying off and basically paying for mercenaries. Does that have a foundation in historical accuracy?
Quite likely. So we don't know exactly about this time period as this scenario is taking place, but we know from a little bit later that Carthage relied heavily on mercenaries. It had mercenaries as parts of its core army. So it had a professional army, and then it had mercenaries throughout history. fact, at one point in Carthaginian history, they ran out of money to pay all of those mercenaries. And then they ended up in something predictably called the Mercenary War, because all of those mercenaries, turns out, are really unhappy about not being paid. So their reliance on paid mercenaries is definitely something that has been a major thing throughout Carthaginian history.
Yep, that's all they're after, right? Is that gold, that money. So if they're not getting paid, they're going
to... Yeah, so surprisingly, that's really surprising. If you start paying hundreds of heavily armed men, and then you just tell them that, oh, sorry, we cannot pay you anymore, then surprisingly, they get quite upset.
Yeah, no, I don't blame them. That feels very realistic. And what I understand is that in that time period, Rome was kind of, I mean, like, at least aware of Carthage to a degree that maybe they weren't big fans of them. So does Rome play a part in this scenario, and how much so?
Rome does not show up in the scenario yet, because we are here still a little bit before that time period. Later, yes, later, Rome was aware of Carthage, and on multiple occasions they had peace treaties, they had various trade, but at this point, we're still a bit earlier, there isn't really any Rome to speak of yet. There's nothing significant going on there. And the most significant players at the time that would still be, Egypt is still going strong, and the original colonies in Phoenicia, they're still going strong. We don't see any of them in the first scenario again, because the first scenario is very much about you rising to something above just a simple colony, just a simple stopover point for ships. But of course, stay tuned to the later scenarios to see what happens with the other nations in the region.
Now, Daniel, would you mind helping me understand how victory is measured within these scenarios?
Yes. In the campaign, we went with something that we called victory levels. So as I mentioned before, each scenario has its own goals, which is 12 goals, at least most of the time. And you have a certain amount of years to complete them. So in the first scenario, you play for 1 century or 100 years, which is 100 in-game turns. And in those 100 years, you try to complete as many goals as possible. And how many goals you complete, it determines what your final victory level will be. If you complete 6 goals, you get a bronze victory. If you complete 8 goals, you get a silver victory. And 10 goals is a gold victory. And the really best players are going to be able to complete all 12, which is then an epic victory, a really good achievement in our campaign for the skilled old world players.
So, Daniel, this all sounds really great. I'm really excited to try this, and I'm curious to know when it's going to be available.
The first Carthage scenario will be available for everyone on the 13th of May, so really soon. And we're really looking forward to seeing what you make of it.
Very good, and I'm very excited to see how well I can do and how well my victory will be measured, if I can even achieve victory.
I'm sure you can. You've been with the game for quite a while.
Yeah, we'll see. And in closing, is there any advice that you might want to give to some of our players out there that might want to try this scenario? And maybe not too much, but maybe just a little bit to get them started.
The best piece of advice for the scenario is probably trust no one.
Yeah, okay, that's good, including your own mercenaries, right?
Including your own mercenaries, yeah. Although if you pay them well, you can trust them.
Excellent, good to know. And with that, I'm really excited. So for May 13th, we'll be seeing the first scenario of a campaign centered around Carthage. I'm very excited. And Daniel, before I let you go, is there anywhere we can find you? Maybe on the public Discord?
Yes, I'm on our Old World official Discord. I am Solver there, and all current and prospective players are very welcome to come and have a chat with us.
Yeah, and maybe you can wrangle some additional advice out of them. So thanks for being with me, Daniel. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to tell us about the first scenario for the Carthaginian campaign.
It was my pleasure.
ורוח זו תדח מחכים.